The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is the Problem Corner, and I am your host, David Pruse. My format is, as usual, on Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday is my day of politics, so my guests will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbanks and pioneer, local legend, maybe even a nefarious character or a repeat wonderful person by the name of Joni Skillbread. I don't know. It can go either way. Friday is all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce Fairbanks to this world, this planet, give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. We'll try to get your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop. But please be patient. I will get to them, and I got a feeling today we're going to have some phone calls. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And with that, Joni, what is our topic today?
The Great Tanana Raft Classic.
And what did they do at the Raft Classic?
Well, the first thing you have to do is drink beer.
Hold on, here we go. This is at your, not request, but your requirement. We're cracking beers. It is after 11.
Yes, okay. And it's a Pilsner.
It's an Alaskan brewed King Street beer.
It tastes great.
So, the Great Raft Race, growing up, what an event.
Oh, yes. For those that were here prior to the Alaska Pipeline, we had this crazy thing known as the Great Tanana Raft Classic that... It was a race, and it was between Fairbanks and Nenana on the Tanana River this time of year in May.
Yep.
And it went, you had to build a raft, and you had to float down, and you had to get, the finish line was at the
Where was the start line? Where was the start line?
Chena Pump Campground.
And the finish line was?
The Mears Bridge in Nenana, the railroad bridge.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. And you had to float down at 65 river miles. And the Tanana River is a glacial silt river.
And it's about a 7-knot current.
It's notorious.
Yeah.
For mishaps.
Sweepers.
Yes, it does not give up its dead.
No, it does not.
It is. If it falls in, it's gone.
Yes.
And so they got this idea to do this. And... like all crazy things in our history, it starts in a bar with people drinking, beer.
Well, first of all, Fairbanks, we're only having one beer. And we start. I got a six-pack about 2 weeks ago, and we did a show, Joni and I did a show, where she required beer at our practice run through this.
We had to watch a movie.
Yeah, we had to watch a movie on this. And so now, you know, about 10 days later, we have the other two beers. And so here we are.
Yes. So these guys were in, there's different accounts of where the origin of this took place. But
you found the actual and factual.
Yes.
And let's give homage to... that person?
April Crosby. This race was started by George Cresswell and Merritt Helfrich. And April Crosby is Merritt's widow.
Mm-hmm.
And I beat the bushes big time, you know, looking for Merritt Helfrich. And somebody put me in touch with her. And she was just absolutely wonderful. As it turns out, Merritt has a memoir. He's deceased now, but there's a memoir that is going to be published this summer. and it's about his 60 years in Alaska. He was with the Geophysical Institute up at the university. And the book is called Some Days You Eat the Bears, an Alaskan memoir. And it's going to be available in early July. Advanced orders can be placed on the website of the Interior Alaska Land Trust at interioralaskalandtrust.org starting June 1st. And it costs $28.95, which includes the handling and the postage. And many thanks to April for sending an excerpt out of this book for us to look
read
at.
Through and yeah, yes. And man, I mean,
and the other one is Neil Brown. Neil Brown sent me emails with his information mm-hmm. that he had compiled, and that's just absolutely wonderful. I'm very grateful to them for sending all of that. So, and my interest in this was I was at the 1971 race, the very last one, and my mother filmed it. We were at the start and the finish.
And we saw the film.
Yes.
And we had a beer in my office.
Yep.
While we looked at the last great race.
The very last one, yes.
And, wow. I mean, it's going to be hard, interesting to describe mm-hmm. to Fairbanks what that race was and how it started and the participation.
Yes. Well, it actually started in 1967. And Neil Brown and George Cresswell were both up there at the university. And, you know, they didn't have any money, but they wanted to go out and enjoy all the things, you know, that Alaska has to offer. And they built a raft. They thought, let's build a raft and go down the river to Nenana. And we had a road to Nenana. And so their wives would pick them up. Well, they built this raft, and they floated down, and they survived. You know, they had quite a few challenges.
Yeah.
It wasn't an uneventful trip. It was, but they survived, and they learned while they did it. And they got down there, and, you know, a lot of people think that the road bridge, the Shirley Dementev Bridge, is older than it is. Well, that bridge was built in 1967, and it wasn't finished when they did this.
Yeah.
So they had to land on the north bank of the river, but they needed to get to the other side of the river to Nenana to place a phone call to their wives to come and get them. But the bridge wasn't done, and the ferry, it was too late at night, and the ferry wasn't running, so they got up on the bridge girders where the decking had stopped, and they butt-hopped along those girders across that bridge. And if you've ever been on it, it's way up there.
Mm-hmm. I've not been on it.
And they got over there, and they called their wives, and they had a couple hours to drink and think in the bar.
That's usually dangerous.
And then they butt-hopped back across, met their wives, and they went home. Well, 1 year later, well, it was in the late winter.
So hold it now. They're butt-hopping across the girders, basically 200 feet up.
Yes.
Over the Tanana, the Nenana River.
Yes. No, over the Tanana. Tanana,
where it meets the Nenana River.
Yes,
right
it's
there.
Where the road bridge is today.
And so they went into Nenana to have a few cocktails, and they basically shimmied across the yes. steel girders of the bridge to get back to their wives.
The unfinished bridge, yes.
These guys were studs.
They were. So many months
I
later.
I could not have done that.
Many months later, you know, it's, I don't know, February or March or so, and they're in the Switzerland bar.
The old Switzerland.
George Cresswell is.
Okay.
And him and his wife, and Merritt Halfridge is in there. And they're talking about what we're going to do when spring comes.
Now, Fairbanks, if you don't know where the Switzerland is, if you're looking at the auto parts store where Fred Meyer's is there, and then
Walgreens.
And then the shutdown Walgreens, mm-hmm. that's the location right there. And that was on Airport Road, and then it became Old Airport Road. So, anyway.
Yeah. So, they're sitting in the bar. What are we going to do? Spring's coming, you know, and little spring fever. And George says, well, Neil and I, we built this raft. And we floated down the Tanana all the way to Nenana. And we think we're going to do it again. And of course, Merritt Helfrich, you know, a few beers in progress. Merritt says, well, I want to go. And George says, well, no, I don't think so. You know, you're not a good enough
rafter
or whatever.
And outdoors
Merritt's,
guy.
Well, yeah. You know, well, I'll tell you what, I'll build my own and I'll race you down there and I'll beat you. Barroom bet.
But this is over a discussion of about 3 to 5 minutes.
A little more than
well,
that.
Well, that first part, you know, this getting, you know, two guys, two bulls in the ring.
I would say more accurately, it was a discussion over several beers.
Egos are inflating.
Yes.
Okay.
So the next thing you know, there's a race. And then they draw up a poster. And they make this really interesting looking poster, hand drawn on a piece of paper, and they made all the rules right there, emboldened by beer. And the poster got hung up in, you know, there's varying in these accounts. It's gives varying locations, but I think it was the Nevada Bar, which was downtown on First where Key Bank is.
Yeah.
And it got hung up in there. And they hung it up, and they got so many sign-ups so quickly that they got scared, and they took it down. And so the first race was on. And they came up with the rules, 4 barrels. It had to be barrels. You had to have 4 of them. No motors.
Yep.
You had to have at least a 2-person crew, and you had to have life preservers.
Yeah.
And the race was on.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Joni Skillbred in here. We're talking about the great Fairbanks Indiana Raft Race that used to take place from 1968 to 1971. And we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Great news for parents of kids 12 to 15 years old. Your kids are now eligible to receive the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. Being vaccinated means your kid can return to being a kid. As a pediatrician, I absolutely recommend you vaccinate your child against COVID-19. Find a free Pfizer vaccine today at covidvax.alaska.gov.
A message from the Department of Health and Social Services.
Alaska Industrial Hardware wants you to know that they're here if you need them, keeping the shelves stocked and resupplied daily with everything you need to get the job done. Looking for nitrile gloves or disposable coveralls? They've got them. Even though life might be a little different right now, AIH is making sure you have the products you need when you need them. Feel free to stop into any of AIH's 8 statewide locations or visit them at AIH.com. Alaska Industrial Hardware, serving Alaskans through it all since 1959.
Did you miss out on the big spring radio auction? Don't sweat it. We've got a nice selection of items still remaining and waiting for you now at AlaskaRadioAuction.com. Loads of wonderful gifts for you. Food, jewelry, tools, sporting goods, services, and much more. Get everything you want for summer fun for a fraction of the price. Just go to AlaskaRadioAuction.com and save big, but hurry. This is the last week, and when it's gone, it's gone. That's AlaskaRadioAuction.com, and enjoy your summer.
Weather is being brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoor. Your next outdoor adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR Weather.
A blend of clouds and sun today with highs around 69. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows dip down to about 41. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, chance for scattered storms. Daytime highs approaching 61. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse in the studio here with Joni Skillbred. We're talking about the great raft race that went from Fairbanks to Nenana from 1968 to 1971. And April Crosby, just want to thank you so much for the information you got to Joni. And
yes, her and Neil Brown.
Neil, you're okay too. But
yep.
April, thank you very much. So
She was first.
Yeah. What got me about this is just the research that you gave me was they put together this raft race. in March, April. Yet they still, they're graduate students. They weren't thinking correctly. They weren't PhDs yet, because the ice didn't go out to the 19th.
Yeah.
The river opened up, you know, 1 week prior. So I'm sure they're looking, oh, boy.
This was always in May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean, right now, today's the 26th.
It would have been now.
Yeah, so it was 1968, 2021. You do the math. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just crazy to think about it. And if you're on the river this time of year, it's cold. And that water is even colder.
Yeah.
So to do this trip, there's some things that give a little background on this. It's about 65 river miles, more or less, to Nenana, between, you know, from China Pump Campground where it started. And the average current is, they reported in the paper, of about 4 miles an hour. But if the water's high, it's going to be faster. And in certain stretches of the river, it's faster. In certain stretches, it's lower. And they estimated that first year, they estimated the travel time to be about 14 hours. So this is an all-day thing.
And yet, their inebriation started at...
Oh, the night before, because you had to build your raft.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't get any sleep.
So basically, it was a 24-hour party.
Oh, easy. Yes. So when you're going down the river, there's a couple of hazards. You can't see where the water's shallow because you can't see anything in the Tanana. It's all mud looking.
Yeah.
And so you would run aground, and you'd have to get off. And you can push, if you don't build your raft too big and put too much stuff on it, you know, you can push it off and get it back in the current. So that's one hazard. Another one is if you get caught in an eddy. And if you get caught in an eddy and you don't have...
something to get you out of it. So you don't have the oars or the pole to get... You're the spinning. You're just spinning.
You're not going to get out except by dumb luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so people would get stuck in eddies. But the worst ones were the sweepers and the preachers.
Describe what a preacher is.
Well, I have the description, the official one here.
Okay.
It says,
really?
A preacher is a tree lying parallel with the surface of the river with roots sunk in the middle of the river downstream and the upper end bobbing.
Ooh.
Unpredictably above the water, ready to spear you.
Yep.
Ouch.
And the sweeper?
A sweeper is a tree still attached to the shoreline whose underpinnings have been eroded so that it has fallen into the river, you know, across the current.
Yeah.
With limbs and branches bobbing in the current. And a sweeper does exactly what it says. And if you encounter a sweeper, sometimes you can, if it's a smaller one, you know, you can just kind of grab it and push your way around it, and not too much of a problem. If you hit it and the current's going fast enough and it's a larger sweeper and you can't manually manipulate it, it sweeps everything off the deck of your raft, including you.
Yeah.
All your beer's gone. All your food's gone. All your gear is gone.
You haven't flipped, but everything's gone.
The other thing is there were some log jams, and this was also true with some of these sweepers. If you hit something, and you know, like a log jam or a sweeper, the current would raise up the upriver side of your raft, and it would flip it over.
How many people were in the first raft race, do you estimate?
The very first one, they had about 75. According to the newspapers.
And the last one?
And that's 75 rafts with about 300 participants.
And the last one?
The last one had...
1971?
They think 325 to 400 rafts, depending on which account.
Third race, 395 rafts over 2,000 crew.
1,500.
28 rafts from Anchorage, races from California, New York, Washington, Nevada, and Hawaii. It became
it became a nationally known event.
Yeah. Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Joni Skillbred, and your name is?
Hi, how you doing, Richard?
Hello, Richard. How are you today?
I'm okay, thank you. Interesting topic. You said that the last race I'm listening, is it was in 71. So I recall we did one in 1984 wrap race, 1984-85.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, that was the revival of it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it took us about 16 hours to make that trip. We didn't have any mishaps.
My brother was on that one.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an adventure. It's something to brag about.
How long did it take you?
About 16 hours.
Is that a one and done, or would you do it again? How was your raft built?
The raft was, we had more than four barrels. And it was just built, you know, over the barrels. We had a little handrail, and then obviously coolers and such. And
coolers and such, eh?
Deck chairs, yeah.
Okay. Any beer?
Oh, yeah.
So it was an official reenactment.
Yeah, except where we had some restraint. We used some restraint. We understood the danger. But no, I wouldn't do it again. One and done.
Interesting.
Richard, thank you for the phone call. What was your fondest memory of that race besides finishing?
Oh, my gosh. Watching one of the guys fall into the water backwards in his chair, the look on his face. You know, you remember those things, and just absolute terror on his face.
Yeah, shock, terror, and fear, yeah.
Mostly cold.
Yeah, but, you know, now that you said that, the whole image is in my head now, so I can see it all happening again.
Richard,
anyway, thank you
for the phone call. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. You have a great weekend.
All right, bye-bye.
Goodness.
So this became, the first year, they had about 75 rafts with 300 participants. The second year, it more than doubled in size. And then the third year, it more than doubled in size again.
I gave the statistics from the third year, 1970.
Yeah.
395 rafts, 2,000 people. It's not international yet, but you have races from California, New York, Washington, Nevada, and Hawaii.
Absolutely insane, yes.
Now,
we had national coverage of this. Merritt's memoir says that Charles Kuralt did a piece on it.
Now, they went through by a couple places. One was the Hot Slough. What was the Hot Slough?
Well, that was located about, not quite, but almost halfway down. And Whiskey Island is there, and it's adjacent to Whiskey Island. And the river, of course, you know, the Tanana changes often.
Yeah.
But at the time of these races, the Hot Slough was a slough that was a shortcut route, because it was a big elbow that you had to take. And you could take the Hot Slough, but the problem was the sweepers and partial log jam that were blocking the entrance to it. And you would get hung up in there. And then the Hot Slough, if you got near the banks, there were sweepers all along the banks. And so it was shorter, but there was an amount of risk that you assumed doing it.
You know, when you were showing me the notes and I saw the Hot Slough in the Whiskey Island, I went right to Whiskey Island because my dad, he named the railroad at Pioneer Park, now at A67 back then, the Whiskey Island Cripple Creek Railroad. He named it.
Crooked Creek.
Crooked Creek, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. And but anyway, so I said, Whiskey Island. Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
Yes.
Big Island in the Tanana River.
That's right. A very big island. So, you would do this, and they had all these crazy people, and you have to think about this. So you have this race, and people just went nuts for this. And they build these rafts, and you have to get your raft to the starting point. Some people would build in Fairbanks. Some people would build right there at the campground, stay up all night.
Yep, we're doing this.
Throw together this raft. Hope to God it floats all the way to Nenana.
It was a 24-hour event, no matter what.
Yes.
And people were starting to build it weeks in advance.
Yes, and they had to learn as they went over these 4 years of this race. And as it grew, it became more complicated. Of course, you know, more rules.
More personal races.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have some Fox News, state news, commercials, weather. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. Joni Skillbred is in the studio with me. We're talking about the Fairbanks to Nenana raft race. That was from 1968 to 1971. We'll be back in a bit.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
A gunman opened fire this morning at a Santa Clara County, California light rail maintenance and storage facility, killing at least eight people and wounding several others.
The suspect is confirmed deceased. I will not go into details as how what the cause of death is at this point.
Deputy Russell Davis says the total number of victims has not yet been made public. Congressional Republicans say they're preparing another counteroffer to President Biden's $2.3 trillion infrastructure proposal, which includes using unspent coronavirus relief money to help pay for its projects.
Republicans say they're willing to spend $1 trillion, but the money has to go toward what they describe as traditional infrastructure. Democrats are considering using budget reconciliation, bypassing the need for Republican votes if an agreement cannot be reached.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Anchorage's 14-month-long COVID-19 pandemic emergency declaration has ended. At an Anchorage Assembly meeting on Tuesday evening, Acting Mayor Austin Quinn Davidson announced that she has issued a proclamation ending the declaration that day, citing a recent drop in COVID-19 cases and widely available vaccines. She also said the city no longer needs to rely on the flexibilities provided by an emergency declaration for its COVID-19 response. She said the city will identify existing departments to continue in its critical responses to COVID-19, including monitoring data, vaccinations, and testing. And finally, a Nikiski woman is recovering after being trampled by a cow moose when she got near its newborn calf that was on her property on Monday, according to Alaska State Troopers. The 51-year-old woman sustained multiple injuries and was sent to an Anchorage area hospital, according to an online trooper dispatch. She is currently in fair condition. Both the cow and calf left the area on the woman's property in Nikiski and have not been located. They headed into a wooded area behind the property, according to troopers. In their online dispatch, troopers reminded the public that it's calving season and said to never approach a moose calf. They also warned not to get between one and a cow moose.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hey, it's Michael Dukes. And you know, I wanted to talk about living in Alaska. I mean, it's a beautiful place, right? The problem is, it's also a dangerous place sometimes. I mean, it can kill you. And Alaska is so big that there are many times when your cell phone just won't reach the people you need to reach if there's an emergency. That's why I'm excited to talk about Pivotel Iridium Satellite Phones from our friends over there at Satellite West. Now, Pivotel got its start down in Australia, in the outback, and now they've expanded to Alaska. Nothing gives you more peace of mind than being able to reach those that you love when you're out in the wilderness or just out there messing around, or in the case of an emergency, reaching somebody that you need to talk to help you. Pivotel's got some other great pluses as well, including free incoming calls on most plans, your own Alaska number. But the best thing is, you'll have the peace of mind of knowing you can always reach those that you need to reach. Pivotel Satellite Phones by our friends over there at Satellite West, available from our good friends over there at Arctic Fire and Safety. Check them out today.
It's a calling that's kept us free. It's a place to belong. What's the calling? Being a member of the Air Force Reserve. It's part-time service where the impact is full-time, and the experience and benefits you receive can enhance your civilian career and your life. What's your calling? Air Force Reserve.
To find out about local job opportunities with the Air Force Reserve at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, call 800-257-1212 or go to afreserve.com. This message is sponsored by the Air Force Reserve and aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio with Joni Skillbred. She is the last Wednesday of every month, and our next show at the last Wednesday in June will be what, Joni?
Mosquito abatement, the history of it in Fairbanks.
I know it. Oh, my God. Oh, those, you know, Fairbanks, we try to discuss those things that are unique to Fairbanks, those events, those things that happen that no other location in the world had these things. And Joni does a great job, an incredible job, researching and presenting it. So thank you again, Joni. Now, you know, growing up with this, event in Fairbanks. You know, the first year, yeah, whatever. But then as I was, you know, I was 8 to 12 years old when this was going on. But I would remember going through the neighborhood, you know, riding my bike through neighborhoods and seeing rafts, built rafts in in people's yards.
Yes.
That they'd built a year before, and they're going to keep them again. And they're going to do it.
Neil Davis sent a picture that shows, or maybe it was in Merritt's. I think it was in Merritt's memoir. This shows an aerial view of one of the races.
Yeah.
And you see cars parked on either side of the road, Chena Pump Road, for, I'll bet you, a mile.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the newspaper reported at one of these that there was more than 1,000 or 900 spectators on the riverbank in 1969, the second year.
At that time, Fairbanks probably had a population of 8,000 to 10,000 people in the whole area.
It was small. It was very small.
So one out of every 8 to 10 people were involved in this race.
This was the big spring fling.
Think about that.
Yeah.
10 to 15% of your population was involved in this event.
Yes. And, you know, when we watched the film footage that my mother took, I kept thinking to myself, you know, I think part of the attraction to this was
the people.
It was the people, but it also had kind of that same spirit of the Klondike Gold Rush.
Yeah.
You know, where they went over the Chilkoot and they got to Lake Bennett, and they had to build their boats and race to the Klondike, floating down the Yukon. And I think that it kind of captured the spirit of that in a way.
Yeah.
But this crazy event, so you had to build your raft. Most of them were pretty small, and they were square, and they were barely seaworthy. An oar or a rudder was open to a wide latitude of interpretation. My dad's friends who had theirs was called the mud dauber.
Mm-hmm.
They stole some street signs from Eielson Air Force Base. They were Air Force guys.
Well,
and they used street signs as their oars.
Now, Joni's father, if you need federal bail money, if you need federal bail money, I will help out. You know, I think the statute of limitations has ran out.
He wasn't on the raft. I think my mother
This wasn't taken from a military reservation. These signs were they? Oh, yes. God, you're throwing your dad under the bus.
Well, no, he wasn't involved in that. Those were his buddies.
That's what I'd start saying right now, too. Oh, yeah, his buddies did it. Yeah, yes. Not my dad would not do that. Yeah.
No, a captain.
He knew where all the good signs were.
So, anyway, you had to build your raft, and you had to get it there. And some of these rafts, we're going to talk about this later, were pretty elaborate, but you had to get your raft there. And so then there was this, it was always billed as, this is an at-your-own-risk event. I mean, there was quite a bit of danger involved. And I think that was one of the things that attracted people. And there was a joke that the organizers of the race made that they thought about putting a coin-op vending machine for life insurance right there at the Chena Pump campground where the race started. So you could just drop in your money, you know, and get a life insurance policy for one day for the trip.
You know, what always got me was the following photographs of that event in the Jessen's Weekly or the Daily News Miner or the All Alaska Weekly. You know, everyone covered it.
Looked for those pictures. They were anxiously awaiting.
I remember, Governor Egan would come up to it, sort of like that official, you're having the Le Mans race and boom.
He was at the first one.
Yeah.
And so when they got ready to start, everybody's been up all night. Nobody's had any sleep. A lot of them are still drunk from the night before. And they would start this race with a Le Mans start. So the crew would be on the raft, and all the captains had to be over at the designated spot on the shore. And the signal would be given, whether it be a gun, a horn, whatever they decided to use. And the captains all had to run en masse for their boats. chaos.
Few trips.
Had to get on the boat, to get the boat, the raft launched and into the river. And you saw on the film footage, they crash into each other.
Oh, yeah.
They get caught in that first eddy.
It was bumper cars for the first mile and a half.
It was chaos.
And then you had the boats, the power boats circling around it, watching it. Then you had
were the rescuers.
Yeah. Then you had these little paddle wheel boats circling around it, and you had airplanes flying over it.
Oh yes, it was.
So the FAA is getting mad.
Don't forget the riverboat Discovery, the Binkley.
Discovery One was there.
Yes.
Witnessing it, making sure everyone, you know, anyone who needed help.
The Binkley family played a big part in this, and so. You had all of this, just this chaos going on. So the first year, the start of the race was signaled with somebody shot a shotgun.
That's
the
appropriate.
Second year, they decided that the Riverboat Discovery was going to send the signal, and that I think they decided it would not be a Le Mans start. And somebody else did a big bang. Shot a cannon or, you know, a little model cannon or something off. A big bang went off, and the race started prematurely, and a whole bunch of the rafters took off, and they weren't even done registering people yet. And so they don't know for sure on the second race for sure how many that they had because it started way premature. So they went back to the Le Mans start after that. To keep those captains separate from their boats or their rafts.
The cheating scandals that might ensue.
Yes.
Oh.
So at the second race, Fairbanks, a little history about Fairbanks at this time. So the second race was in 1969. And the oil boom was just starting. And Prudhoe, the oil fields at Prudhoe were being
Atlantic
developed.
Atlantic Richfield Oil Company had... Discovered oil, got a Discovery well.
Yes, and while the pipeline wasn't actively being built yet, the preliminary work was being done already up on the slope. And one of the things that happened was we had a surplus in 1968. There were oil drums everywhere in this town. Well, all of a sudden, they needed those for up north.
A hot item.
It became a hot item.
And they needed them for a raft race.
And there was a shortage. So, at the end of the second race, there was actually the newspaper, there was a newspaper article that said that there was a representative from one of the oil companies in Nenana at the end of the race, and he was giving these rafters $6 a barrel for their barrels at the end of the race. Well, there was also some guys that came up from the lower 48, and they saw opportunity, and there were two big trucks that showed up. And the rafts had to land on this island that is between the north bank of the river and the town of Nenana. It's a big island, and part of the bridge, one of the bridge piers rests on that today for the road bridge.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they all had to beach there, and this truck came out, and it was two trucks. And they picked up about 400 barrels. And apparently they stole the barrels. And there was some very harsh words. And then there was something about being in a bar in Neil Brown's account, being in a bar and a 38 was pulled. And they left without paying their bill. But anyway, there was a big fight over these barrels. The troopers had to do an official investigation. So, you know, at the end of the race, there's fighting over the barrels. The plan was to burn all the rafts on the island and have a big party. I never did see anything in the articles about whether or not they actually burned the rafts or not.
You know, a few people burnt a little bit of it, but a lot of them started coming home for the next year.
Yeah.
And a lot of people said, no, I'm not burning my raft. They're trailering them out. They, you know, by the second year, there was more planning involved.
Mm-hmm.
People were talking about the first race or experiencing the first race. And all these river engineer wonks came out of the woodwork, were building the better raft, were having rafts with bicycles on it, the boot door paddle wheels.
Well, rules and policies come out of complaints.
Yes.
Yes.
And so anyway. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these commercials. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255, and we'll see you in a bit.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Save on Firestone now at GCR. Receive your Visa prepaid card of up to $90 when you buy a set of four eligible Firestone tires, including run flat models. Choose Firestone Destination tires for on- and off-road performance on your light truck or SUV. Choose Firehawk models for superb handling on your car. Submit your rebate online and Firestone mails you your Visa prepaid card. Hurry in. Offer ends July 8th. Details at GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Naming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
When you call a contractor, you want a seamless project, smooth from start to finish. That's why you call ABC. Whether you're remodeling your entire home, kitchen, or bath, or doing a project like installing siding, gutters, or energy-efficient windows, ABC makes it seamless and easy. Call 457-ABC1. Serving Fairbanks in the interior for over 27 years. ABC Inc., your seamless remodeling contractor. That's 457-ABC1.
Did you miss out on the big spring radio auction? Don't sweat it. We've got a nice selection of items still remaining and waiting for you now at AlaskaRadioAuction.com. Loads of wonderful gifts for you. Food, jewelry, tools, sporting goods, services, and much more. Get everything you want for summer fun for a fraction of the price. Just go to AlaskaRadioAuction.com and save big, but hurry. This is the last week, and when it's gone, it's gone. That's AlaskaRadioAuction.com, and enjoy your summer.
KFAR weather.
A blend of clouds and sun today with highs around 69. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows dip down to about 41. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, chance for scattered storms, daytime highs approaching 61. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse in the studio here with Joni Skillbred. We're enjoying our discussion on the raft race from Fairbanks to Nenana that occurred from the years 1968 to 1971.
Yes. Yes. So now we've got everybody there, and we've got these chaotic starts, and the river all of a sudden fills up with all of this motley assortment of rafts, and they have to make their way down, and it was spills, chills, and thrills. Sometimes there were reports of rafts hitting sweepers, you know, and everybody and everything getting swept off, and they had... There were different groups and individuals who went along and followed through the raft race with river boats, and they would rescue people. And they did a really great job of it because there was quite a dangerous element with that. I'm surprised that it was as successful as it was, given, you know, how this all came about. But they also, they had to start really being much more organized. There started being more rules and policies because of complaining. And the biggest one was the trash.
Yeah, and the size of the event.
The size of the event.
And the trash.
And the trash. And the river was just filled with trash. And then these rafts would get abandoned down in Nenana. And so the city of Nenana said, you're not touching our riverbank. You can park them all on that island.
Nenana got invaded.
They
Nenana's
did.
Nenana's population doubled, if not
totally
tripled.
Totally overwhelmed. It's not just the rafters.
Yeah.
It's the spectators.
And the spectators watching the start would be anywhere from 500 to 1,200 people.
And then they all drive down to Nenana.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It was just crazy. So you have
this. It was
this,
the world before the internet.
Yes, and you have all this trash, that stuff that's fallen overboard, bits and pieces of rafts, all kinds of flotsam, jetsam. And some of it floats on past Nenana, and, you know, people in Nenana were just fine with that. But, you know, it ends up the river was just littered from China Pump to Nenana with all of this. And people, there started to be letters to the editor complaining about it. And the Merritt Halfridge and George Cresswell, you know, they were the main leaders of this race. You know, they fell under an enormous amount of pressure to address these issues, which they did the best they could. You know, they organized cleanup. They started charging registrants a fee that would help with the cleanup, getting people with river boats to go along and clean up some of the trash and stuff. But anyway, so by the time you would get to the end of the race, there was one raft that just seemed to do better than all the others. And it really wasn't fair. And they had a paddle wheel that was powered by bicycles.
Yeah.
And they started out with a smaller one, and each year they made it a little bigger.
It got to be, you know, to get on that boat, that was something else.
Yes. So the first version of it was the Ice Worm PT-66 was what it was called. The PT-66 Ice Worm. And it featured a sail. It didn't have the paddle wheel yet. And that was powered by Clements, DeMoncos, Jones, and Straub. And their finishing time was 10 hours, 15 minutes. And that was the first official race. The next year, it was six men on the bicycled paddle wheel, and the winner was the Worm Germ, and that was sponsored by Davis Log and Mill and Dick and Don's Texaco, and they finished in 8 hours, 11 minutes, and I mean, they just blew away the competition.
You had people from the Geophysical Institute that
engineered these things.
This is what it was.
Oh, yeah.
And they went out and got sponsors.
So by 1971, you know, that wasn't really fair. I mean, they were so far beyond everybody else. So it was decided that they were gonna make it that whoever came in number 11th was gonna be the winner. And I remember standing on the riverbank with my brother, and there was this really crappy looking raft, and it had four or five guys on it, and they had pulled up by us, and there was like a little eddy right there, and they had pulled up and they were holding on the bank, and they wanted to know from us, and they were going to pay us, how much, you know, what place they were in, because they wanted that 11th place. They wanted to be declared the winners.
Yeah.
And I think that we got $5 out of them. I don't remember for sure.
Ooh,
but
yeah.
There was money involved in this, and we told them, but they didn't get pushed off fast enough, and so they missed number 11.
They came in 12th.
But that year, the ones who did come in, the winner was Charles Robertson, and his crew was George May, George McElwain, and Brendan Sandiford, and they were all Air Force guys from the Murphy Dome radar site. And they also had two kids on there, Mark, age 12, and Charles Jr., age 9. And that year, the water was really, really high.
And swift.
And they were, oh, yeah, it really upped the speed of the river. And there was a lot of debate whether or not to postpone the race, but they decided to put it on anyway. Unfortunately, there were two deaths. And 19-year-old Brian Kendall, who was a UAF student, his raft, you know, flipped, and he went in the drink. Everybody on the raft went in, but he went under.
Yeah, I remember watching the news on that, and you know, he was at the back of the raft. He had a poncho on, but mm-hmm. he had his float underneath the poncho.
Yeah.
And they never saw him again.
The silt filled up the poncho.
Yeah, they never saw him again.
Yeah, and really sad. And the other one was a 13-year-old. His name was Matthew Ritter from North Pole.
Yeah, boy.
And with that, the Coast Guard got involved, and they put some pretty stringent rules on. They didn't outlaw the raft race, but the rules that they put on made it almost impossible to put it on, and that was kind of
you were
the
having
end
to make a seaworthy craft.
Yes, that was the end of it.
Yeah,
and they tried to revive it in 1984, but it never got off the ground again.
As Richard took place,
you could never have that same race
again.
No, and in today's world, forget it. they'd never let you do it.
No.
You know?
And everyone would go out and get an inflatable.
Yes. We had a lot more freedom in those days.
We have a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Joni Skillbred, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Yes, I was here in Fairbanks in 1970 through 72 and came back again for good in 74. But anyway, I remember the raft race, but I never don't have any images of seeing it. I mean, I'm sure I saw some rafts somewhere around, you know, I remember hearing about it and so forth. But I was curious, did you hear of a kind of a raft river race that they had during the pipeline at Dietrich in 1976 anyway? I was there at Dietrich in 1976 and participated in that race. I guess it was the Dietrich River that goes by Dietrich, I think that's the name of the river. Had you heard anything about that? I don't know if they did it more than that one year or what.
I did not hear of it.
Okay. Yeah, some stuff was made out of, I remember my thing was made out of styrofoam that I kind of glued together with some tar, various layers with some kind of tar stuff. I don't have a clear image of what I made, but a bunch of people made stuff and floated down the river.
Okay. Randy, thank you for the phone call. I got to take another one, okay?
Thank you. Bye.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Joni Skillbred, and your name is?
Yeah, good morning. My name is Joe. Just to add a little quick thing to it, I never did participate in the races, but watched the starts and whatever, and with my sister and brother-in-law, one of the number of rafts there had little outhouses.
The smart ones did.
You know, we didn't want to bring that up, but thank you, Joel.
Okay.
What were some of your thoughts and memories of watching the start of that race?
Just a lot of fun and a lot of partying. And I do remember when somebody shot a cannon off up on Chena Ridge and had everybody running
the false start.
Riverbank.
Did you park on a Chena Pump Road there?
Yes, we did. quite a walk down to get to the overview to watch everything, but yeah, lots of fun back then.
So basically, you know, you have a population of 10,000 people in the area, and you have 900 people, you know, in the raft race.
900 spectators.
Spectators, and you have 300 people in the raft race to 400.
Three or four, yeah.
So you got 1,200 people to 1,300 people. You know, you're getting 15% of your population out there on a two-lane road.
On a muddy riverbank.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So did you go out by yourself or were you with a group?
No, I never participated in the race. Just as a spectator was all.
Okay.
And but some fun times talking to people afterwards.
Wasn't that an event? Only in Fairbanks, you know?
Yep.
Thank you for the phone call. You have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Joni, we got about 2 minutes, and as usual, fantastic show. Thank you.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun. I had a great time with this. And
how can you not?
Yeah. My favorite raft was the one with the big pole, about 14 foot tall, and there was a woman with a big soggy poncho on her hugging that pole with a bottle of gin, and she took off that way. I don't know if she made it all the way down or not, but I mean, she was quite the sight.
Only in Fairbanks.
And the one that held the Volkswagen van. Somebody took a Volkswagen van on their raft all the way down to Nenana.
It's called a VW bus.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah.
I remember seeing that photo.
And our next show, you know, we're gonna swat them down. We're gonna swat down the history of mosquitoes in Fairbanks.
You know, and what we used to
it's
do.
It's gonna
here,
be a slap happy time.
Just think if the EPA if we did that now, they'd be arresting people.
Oh sure. Oh sure. We've lost so much of our freedom when you look at. You start looking back at what people can do, because today you don't dare do some of these things. Don't even talk about it.
Well, exactly. Well, Joni, thank you very much. Fairbanks, that is our show for today. I hope you enjoyed our history of the great raft race from Fairbanks, Indiana, from 1968 to 1971. And you have a great day, and I'll see you on Friday.